Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Welcome back. I've got Dr. Stephen Fuller from George Mason University. Dr. Fuller and I are friends. We've talked on the air here a few times, and I've heard him lecture quite a few times over the last 6-7 years or so. Dr. Fuller's involvement in the entire economics department at George Mason University is well respected, and we've had a variety of different economists who've come in to point to different factors that are causing our local real estate economy to not really be vibrant. You know, it's going along. We haven't seen any crashes, but we've definitely seen some areas prices have been unbelievable, especially in downtown DC, many areas in Arlington, Bethesda, Chevy Chase, those kinds of places, and other areas that really haven't recovered so much from the correction. So Dr. Fuller joins us to discuss a variety of things, including what's the job market like locally. Doctor, good morning. How are you today?
I'm very well. I'm happy to be with you today.
All right, good. Well, you created a roadmap for Greater Washington's economic future. Give us an update on what you see.
Well, it's been a roller coaster ride, as you've reported over the last couple of years, and it provides a very useful perspective to looking forward. As most all your listeners will remember, that our economy peaked in 2010. After going through a recession, not as deeply as the rest of the country or our peer metropolitan areas during 09 and 10, we came out of it pretty quickly. And then we hit the wall with the sequester, cutbacks in federal spending, which had been threatened and actually began in 2011, but were quite deep in fiscal 2014, affecting the last half of calendar year 13 and the first half of calendar 14. We actually went negative during that period. The job growth was negative, as well as the overall economy's performance in the district, in suburban Maryland, and in Northern Virginia. We all felt that chill, where the rest of the country kept muddling along, not booming, but clearly outpacing the Washington area. What's quite interesting since then, since mid-2014, but really accelerating at the end of 14 and through all of 15 and continuing through May, the latest data for this year, our May data, continuing to gain strength. And it's not because federal spending went up. It's because other things are happening. And some of those will have impacts on the housing market in ways that we can talk about. The roadmap that we put out a year ago last January, focused on what in the Washington area economy could replace increases in federal spending in driving the future economy. What are we good at that isn't dependent on federal funding? It might be closely related to the Washington area being the nation's capital. Mm-hmm. And that is our key distinguishing asset. But not on federal dollars, because those aren't increasing. They could decrease further in the future. And we know what that did to us in 2012, 13, 14. And so the roadmap has defined some opportunities and also some requirements in order to maximize or at least to trade on our opportunities to get more growth out of them. And we have continuing efforts among private sector as well as public sector participants in regional task forces or committees, working groups. Mm-hmm. They're trying to anticipate or maybe remediate's a better word, some of the barriers, and also to advance some of the requirements. Now, too bad overlaying that, transportation happens to be one of those key issues that we know can either help position the Washington area for future growth or stand in the way. And our current experience with Metro and it's trying to become at least recover its quality of service and levels of service wasn't anticipated back 18 months ago when we began to prepare this roadmap, other than we knew we needed a strong metro system, and it's just that'll come, but it's slowed us up perhaps a little bit in certain ways. So you're never finished. There isn't a single roadmap to the future, but I think we're much better positioned today across the region, both with private sector, sort of collaborative efforts between the private sector and local governments, in thinking about and even acting on choices that may shape the future of this region. They're not sitting back waiting for Uncle Sam to increase federal spending levels to the benefit of the local economy. That's history.
Okay, so the majority of the jobs, so recapping, 3 years ago, I remember it was 2013, even early 2014, our job growth was weaker than Detroit's at the time. And, you know, I think we were the slowest growing large metropolitan area in the nation. And what a flip from 3 or 4 years later, when there was a sucking noise into the D.C. market during the heyday of quantitative easing. And there was so much being put into NIH and other areas. So the flip of that, 13 rolls around. We have sequestration, which is a cutback in the federal spending. Not so much cutting the spending as much as not growing the spending. And as a result, a lot of companies suffered. A lot of contractors actually left the business. And we moved more into retail and service-related jobs locally and away from the higher-paying jobs, if I recall what you'd presented at that time.
That's right. But so, it is good to know there was a 15% reduction in round terms, a 15% reduction in federal procurement spending since the peak, not in 1 year, but if we look back to 2010 to today, that's 13, $14 billion. That's real money in our economy. We've lost almost 25,000 federal jobs over that period, and a payroll reduction or a reduction in total payroll of about $2.5 billion. And so the sense is, the more important point you made it is that this isn't the source of growth that it had been for the previous 30 years. And in fact, it's pulled back and really the good news is it hasn't declined much in the last 18 months. We've sort of we've come to a stable point. It doesn't mean it can't go down again, but it's not subtracting anymore. And the rest of the economy, some of those federal contractors that you mentioned, they knew this was going to happen in 2008, 2009. The handwriting was on the wall, and it takes quite a long time to change the market focus of businesses that had been federally dominated to something that wasn't. And it's come about. Many of these federal contractors who are still in the business still may do some federal contracting, but they're not entirely dependent upon it. Mm-hmm. They've pivoted their market. So as we might have all sat there in 2010 or 2012 saying we need to diversify our economy, the sense of diversification that we were thinking of probably was to get out of federal contracting into something else. And it turns out the job growth that we've seen is diversification within the sectors that we are really strong in, as opposed to becoming something that we weren't. Mm-hmm. And we're still doing a lot of IT services, but we're selling them to private business or maybe foreign governments. You know, it's global as well as national. Mm-hmm. And the strength of our economy continues to be, it looks pretty much like it did in 2008, except the customer base, the marketplace has changed. And there are some other changes in here which have long-term impacts on the housing market and on the retail sector and so forth, as you had cited previously, is that we're continuing to grow jobs that don't pay quite as much as they used to. Mm-hmm. The salary mix of our job base has changed, and that's less visible. The job growth numbers so far this year, we're averaging 70,000 jobs on an annualized basis, we're a little bit higher than 70,000 jobs. In 2014, we added 18,000 400, I think, is the number. And last year, we averaged about 59,000. We're doing better. We haven't done this well since the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. The job payroll structure, however, is quite different.
Right.
And it's hollowed out. The middle, it's a national phenomenon. The middle just isn't growing. The middle of the sort of the middle management or the middle paying jobs, the lower wage jobs and higher wage jobs are carrying the economy at this point.
Well, I got to take a quick break. I'd like you to come back. Let's discuss the effect of interest rates on the housing market and where we're going as a result of that nationally. I'd love to hear some opinion on that. For those listening, this is the Eric Stewart Show every Sunday from 7 to 8 o'clock. I bring you the truth in real estate, economic visions for our future, courtesy of Dr. Stephen Fuller from George Mason University today. Get in touch with us at ericstewartgroup.com. You can listen to today's show there, or you can call us if you don't have the internet. You can call us and we'll help you out. 1-800-900-9104 right after this.